Roe versus Wade, Supreme Court of the United States, 410 U.S. 113, January 22, 1973. Mr. Justice Blackmun delivered the opinion of the court. This Texas federal appeal and its Georgia companion Doe versus Bolton present constitutional challenges to state criminal abortion legislation. The Texas statutes under attack here are typical of those that have been in effect in many states for approximately a century. The Georgia statutes, in contrast, have a modern cast and are a legislative product that, to an extent at least, obviously reflects the influences of recent attitudinal change, of advancing medical knowledge and techniques, and of new thinking about an old issue. We forthwith acknowledge our awareness of the sensitive and emotional nature of the abortion controversy, of the vigorous opposing views even among physicians, and of the deep and seemingly absolute convictions that the subject inspires. One's philosophy, one's experiences, one's exposure to the raw edges of human existence, one's religious training, one's attitudes toward life and family and their values, and the moral standards one establishes and seeks to observe are all likely to influence and to color one's thinking and conclusions about abortion. In addition, population growth, pollution, poverty, and racial overtones tend to complicate and not to simplify the problem. Our task, of course, is to resolve the issue by constitutional measurement, free of emotion and of predilection. We seek earnestly to do this, and because we do, we have inquired into, and in this opinion placed some emphasis upon, medical and medical legal history, and what that history reveals about man's attitudes toward the abortion procedure over the centuries. We bear in mind, too, Mr. Justice Holmes' admonition in his now vindicated dissent in Lochner versus New York. The Constitution is made for people of fundamentally differing views, and the accident of our finding certain opinions natural and familiar, or novel and even shocking, ought not to conclude our judgment upon the question whether statutes embodying them conflict with the Constitution of the United States. Section 1. The Texas statutes that concern us here are Articles 1191 through 1194 and 1196 of the state's penal code. These make it a crime to procure an abortion, as they are defined, or to attempt one, except with respect to an abortion procured or attempted by medical advice for the purpose of saving the life of the mother. Similar statutes are in existence in the majority of the states. Texas first enacted a criminal abortion statute in 1854. This was soon modified into language that has remained substantially unchanged to the present time. The final article in each of these compilations provided the same exception, as does the present Article 1196, for an abortion by medical advice for the purpose of saving the life of the mother. Section 2. Jane Roe, a single woman who was residing in Dallas County, Texas, instituted this federal action in March 1970, against the district attorney of the county. She sought a declaratory judgment that the Texas criminal abortion statutes were unconstitutional on their face and an injunction restraining the defendant from enforcing the statutes. Roe alleged that she was unmarried and pregnant, that she wished to terminate her pregnancy by an abortion performed by a competent licensed physician under safe clinical conditions, that she was unable to get a legal abortion in Texas because her life did not appear to be threatened by the continuation of her pregnancy, and that she could not afford to travel to another jurisdiction in order to secure a legal abortion under safe conditions. She claimed that the Texas statutes were unconstitutionally vague and that they abridged her right of personal privacy, protected by the 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 14th Amendments. By an amendment to her complaint, Roe purported to sue on behalf of herself and all other women similarly situated. James Hubert Halford, a licensed physician, sought and was granted leave to intervene in Roe's action. In his complaint, he alleged that he had been arrested previously for violations of the Texas abortion statutes and that two such prosecutions were pending against him. He described conditions of patients who came to him seeking abortions, and he claimed that for many cases he, as a physician, was unable to determine whether they fell within or outside the exception recognized by Article 1196. He alleged that as a consequence, the statutes were vague and uncertain in violation of the 14th Amendment, and that they violated his own and his patient's rights to privacy in the doctor-patient relationship and his own right to practice medicine, rights he claimed were guaranteed by the 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, and 14th Amendments. amendments. John and Mary Doe, a married couple, filed a companion complaint to that of Roe. They also named the district attorney as defendant, claimed like constitutional deprivations, and sought declaratory and injunctive relief. The Does alleged that they were a childless couple, but Mrs. Doe was suffering from a neurochemical disorder that her physician had advised her to avoid pregnancy until such time as her condition has materially improved, although pregnancy at the present time would not present a serious risk to her life, that pursuant to medical advice, she had discontinued the use of birth control pills, and that if she should become pregnant, she would want to terminate the pregnancy by an abortion performed by a competent, licensed physician under safe clinical conditions. By an amendment to their complaint, the Does purported to sue on behalf of themselves and all couples similarly situated. The two actions were consolidated and heard together by a duly convened three-judge district court. The suits thus presented the situations of the single pregnant woman, the childless couple, and the wife not pregnant, and the licensed practicing physician, all joining in the attack on the Texas criminal abortion statutes. Upon the filing of affidavits, motions were made for dismissal and for summary judgment. The court held that Roe and members of her class and Dr. Halford had standing to sue and presented justiciable controversies, but that the Does had failed to allege facts sufficient to state a present controversy and did not have standing. It concluded that with respect to the requests for a declaratory judgment, abstention was not warranted. On the merits, the district court held that the fundamental right of single women and married persons to choose whether to have children is protected by the Ninth Amendment through the 14th Amendment, and that the Texas criminal abortion statutes were void on their face because they were both unconstitutionally vague and constituted an overbroad infringement of the plaintiff's Ninth Amendment rights. The court then held that abstention was warranted with respect to the requests for an injunction. It therefore dismissed the Doe's complaint, declared the abortion statutes void, and dismissed the application for injunctive relief. The plaintiffs Roe and Doe and the intervener Halford, pursuant to 28 U.S.C. section 1253, have appealed to this court from that part of the district court's judgment denying the injunction. The defendant district attorney has purported to cross-appeal, pursuant to the same statute, from the court's grant of declaratory relief to Roe and Halford. Both sides also have taken protective appeals to the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. That court ordered the appeals held in abeyance pending decision here. We postponed decision on jurisdiction to the hearing on the merits. Section 3. It might have been preferable if the defendant, pursuant to our Rule 20, had presented to us a petition for certiorari before judgment in the Court of Appeals with respect to the granting of the plaintiff's prayer for declaratory relief. Our decisions in Mitchell v. Donovan and Gunn v. University Committee are to the effect that Section 1253 does not authorize an appeal to this court from grant or denial of declaratory relief alone. We conclude, nevertheless, that those decisions do not foreclose our review of both the injunctive and the declaratory aspects of a case of this kind when it is properly here, as this one is, on appeal under Section 1253 from specific denial of injunctive relief, and the arguments as to both aspects are necessarily identical. It would be destructive of time and energy for all concerned were we to rule otherwise.